Thanks very much. It's great to be here again. And thank you, Kat, for that last song. That was great. Great song. Thank you. Next 3 weeks, we're going to be doing a little mini-series, a three-part series on heaven. And it's not enough weeks, let me tell you for a start. So it will be brief. It'll be maybe not a thumbnail sketch, but it will be, you know, highlighted parts. So it won't be a comprehensive study. So I'm telling you this because if you have any questions about what I'm going to say today, if you haven't understood something or anything else, you are welcome to come and see me after the service. I'm going to be hanging around a long time, apparently, because there's a Sunday school meeting, so I'll be there for ages. And if you don't want to do that, you can give me a call at home. You know my number. Or you can come around. There's great coffee at our house, right? So, and I'm sure Keith Jackson will be happy to talk to you next week as well. A little bit of audience participation. I really want you to do this. I need you to do this. Put your hand up. Right? Put your hand up if you would like to go to heaven when you die. Hands up. Okay. That's pretty good. Just about everybody. Now here's the next question. Listen to this carefully. Are you sure? Are you sure you will go to heaven when you die? Hands up. Yeah, it's not bad. It's pretty good. All right. This morning I'd like to look at that subject. How do you know? How do you know? Because Andrew, I've got a little, it's not working for me. I'm doing it. Thank you. Because I've got a little issue with this subject. You see, there's a lot of misinformation about heaven on who's going, how you're going, what's going to happen when you get there. Heaps of it. And it's not just for the non-church people. I mean, I know that Satan uses man's ignorance of God's word as his greatest weapon. I had a conversation just 2 days ago with a non-believer about heaven. And it's not ignorance because they're stupid. It's ignorance because they don't know. We don't know about heaven. The misinformation is unbelievable. And it's not just the people out there, because Jesus said to the religious people, you know, that you're deceived because you don't know what the scriptures say. In my conversations and time spent with believers, when I talk to them or when the subject comes up about heaven, it's amazing how much we don't know about heaven. It's true. Some of the stuff you're going to hear this morning will blow your mind. And you'll say, that's not right, Ralph. That can't be right. But it's true. Because I was one of those people myself. And so they drove me to the scriptures to find out exactly what the scriptures say about heaven. You see, it's important. It's important that we know the truth. Now there's four little images up there, interesting ones. Who goes to heaven? Now the one down the bottom there with the horse, that's Black Caviar. We know she passed away. And the Queen passed away. And there's the reunion at the pearly gates, right? In heaven. Every time a notable person dies, Mark Knight draws a little picture like that. It's really interesting who he thinks is going to be in heaven. I'm sure one of those characters will be. Not sure if they both will be there. Then there's the top one up there on the top left-hand corner for you. The world thinks that everyone's going to heaven. One of the reasons I've pushed to do this series, this church, is because I've been going to a lot of funerals this year. Believers and unbelievers and relatives. And the things that I've heard from the front that people have said, conversations at the wake and so on, have distressed me. Because everyone thinks they're going to heaven. Or at least they hope that they're going to heaven. Or at least they hope that their loved ones are going to heaven. Or at least they hope that they'll see them in heaven. But what basis do they have that hope in? What's the reasoning behind it? Because when I examine their life, and I know some of these people really well, when I examine their lives, I can't see how they'll be there. And it's not being judgmental. It just doesn't line up with what God says. It's confronting. It really is confronting. And it distresses me. Because I know these people. I hope that by the end of this service that you'll be able to help people, provide them with the right information that they need. Because, you know, there's only one source about the information about heaven. There's only one source and one only, and that's in the scriptures. There's just the one place. Unfortunately, God has decided that he would try and get his message across through you and me. And I have to admit that for a long time I was lacking in the knowledge about heaven. So what I told people perhaps wasn't quite correct or wasn't quite clear. And sometimes I didn't even know the answer. I didn't know the answer to the question that they had. They were looking for information from a person of faith and I couldn't give it to them. That's sad. It's an indictment on me. I hope it's not an indictment on you. But I hope that by the end of this service, it will inspire you to look at this subject and get familiar with it. I'm glad that most of you are going to heaven and are sure of going to heaven. But can you tell someone else how to get there? Can you give them the information that they need to make sure that they're going to heaven? That's the key. That's why it's important. And there's other things up there too that you've probably heard some of those things, you know. It's going to be a great time in hell. Everyone's going to be there. So why is this important? Why is this subject of heaven important to us? Why are we doing it here this morning? Does heaven even exist? Does it exist? It does. Does. You know, I'm on Facebook and I follow some stuff, and it's not just about pictures of where I go and vanilla slices. If you follow my site, you'll see that I'm a keen vanilla slice aficionado. And you know what? In Ballarat, you can get the best, what are you smiling at? You can get the best vanilla slice at King's Bakery. And I'm wondering if we could maybe get a couple next week. Because there's someone coming from Ballarat. $5. $4.50 if you buy two. All right. We have travelled to Ballarat just for the vanilla slice, haven't we? All right. But on Facebook, I also follow some interesting and worthwhile things like information and bits and pieces. Here's what came up a few weeks ago, and I thought, I'm going to use this in my sermon. It says there that humans never die. Now, this is not a religious site. This is science. Scientists have said this. Quantum theory. Now, I tried to explain quantum theory to Pauline yesterday. She almost had a seizure. It is hard, but it's a very specific branch of science. Even Einstein struggled with it. But it says there, and if you can see what it says, it proves that your soul moves to another, they say universe, but another sphere, another place. Science says we never die. And I believe that because death isn't the end. It's just a transportation vehicle. You go from one place to the next and death is the vehicle. Science says that, not Raph, not even the Bible. The Bible says it as well, but quantum theory. Very interesting. Another interesting thing, I'm not going that one yet. Another interesting thing is that every culture throughout man's history have some belief in the afterlife. You think about it. Every culture, no matter how primitive they were, right up till today, every culture in the last however many thousands of years you think we've been around has a belief in the afterlife. There's reincarnation. There are lots of people believe in reincarnation. After you die, something happens, right? There's resurrection. That's what we believe in. There's rebirth. There's immortality and spirituality and all sorts. There's a belief in something after you die. Now we get this slide. This is an interesting, I don't really, want to go into too much, but I found it fascinating. This is a Gallup poll done in the US twice. One is in 2015 and the other one was in 2023. Now they had a whole heap of questions, but these are the ones I want to focus on this morning. They asked quite a lot of people in America, do you believe in an afterlife? This is in 2015. So yes was 60%. Maybe, I'm not sure, 15%, and no, 25%. That means that 75% of the people in America, I think there's a reasonable chance there's an afterlife. And it's interesting that they, in that article, they were comparing that with what the same survey or the same questions came up with in the UK. And in the UK, it was 73%, they're very sure, those people, 73% yes, and there was no maybes, and 27% no. That's amazing, isn't it? When you think about all those people, and it's not about just heaven, or it's an afterlife, something after death. So later on, there was another question. In 2023, do you believe in heaven? And so in America, this is in America, heaven, yes, 71%. And then they asked, well, do you believe in hell? And only 61% said yes. I don't know what happened to the other 10%, but they must have been the maybes. But it's interesting, isn't it, that there are people that actually believe in heaven and hell. Today. I'm not talking about, 1,000, 2,000 years ago, oh, they were primitive, they weren't educated. Well, today. Now, I know they were Americans, but let's not have a go at them. Very interesting. So, let's just take that as fact, because it is a fact, that's what happened. The second question I'd like to ask, if yes, then are there any actual facts pertaining to this subject of afterlife and heaven? I mean, real information, reliable information, not my thoughts, my opinions, not your thoughts, but reliable things that we can do. Yep, that's what it is. Because if it is yes, if there is an afterlife, there has to be an assumption, doesn't it? There has to be assumptions. There has to be something out there So most of those people believe in a deity or a god of some description. And it, and also has, there has to be a literal place. You just can't believe that in an afterlife and then there's got to be something. A literal place. And most of those people that believe in an afterlife, they believe in a literal place. There is a something after you die. And then there's got to be entry requirements into this place. Yes? There has to be qualifications. And you know what? They do. And you know, it's fascinating when you look at this subject and the cultural thing about afterlife. You know, the Vikings, you know? The warrior Viking, if it was possible, he had to hang on to his sword. He had to have his sword or his dagger. Otherwise, he couldn't enter into their afterlife. That was one of the entry requirements for them. And when you look at all those deities and different things that people, they all have entry requirements. It makes sense. It's logical. And then, if it is yes, this is vital. The source of this information, where does it come from? The deity, the place, the entry requirements, where does this information, this source come from? For me and you, or hopefully it's you as well, I believe in a God, a Heavenly Father that we sang about and we read about. I believe in a literal place called heaven. I believe there are entry requirements, and we remembered them this morning. And I get all this information from where? The Bible, the Word of God. And I'll tell you why that's very important. You know, you can't talk about heaven, because that's where most people in the West, Western society, people that you go to, most of the funerals that you would go to, when they talk about heaven, they're talking about the heaven that's in the Bible. And you can't talk about heaven without mentioning God. We do, but it's wrong to do that. And the greatest people that do this, that perpetrate this, is Hollywood. You know, all the heaven movies, you know, all the things that God's never there. He's never portrayed. He's never mentioned. The angels, yeah. The people they hear, the people they may meet. The environment, yeah, the environment. But, you know, God's never there. You know, he's the main character there in heaven. So you can't have heaven without God. Because heaven, the Bible tells me, is God's dwelling place. That's where he lives. That's where he resides. And for heaven to exist, God's dwelling place, hell must also, you can't have one without the other. It's not possible. It's just not possible. Heaven is a place, it really is. It's not a state or a condition. Now some people like to think that when you die, you float around, you just... Somebody told me that their sister thinks she's going to be a star, going to float around as a star when she dies. I don't know where she got that from. I really don't. It's not in the Bible. And some people, you know, when you talk to people about heaven, they think, oh, what are we going to do? And they mention a place called the New Jerusalem, the heavenly city. They think that's heaven. It's not heaven. That's not heaven either. Uh-oh. Raph's made a mistake. No. It's a city of heaven. And if you read the Bible, if you read a description of how that city comes about, it says it's a city that comes out of heaven. It comes from heaven. So it can't be heaven. It's part of heaven. More about that in a minute. John said that it was coming down out of heaven from God. So when you start to read the scriptures about these things, you start to get a picture. You get a picture. Here's something that will really blow your mind. The heaven that you and I know, or think we know, the heaven that you and I hope that we will go to if we die, didn't exist when Jesus was on the earth. Raph! What are you saying? It didn't exist. I'm going to show you that now. While the Lord was here on the earth, in John chapter 14, he talked about these things. This is a little slide that you've probably seen before. It's a colorized version. I'm glad it's okay to look at. This is a graphic illustration of someone's perception of how it all fits together purely from the information from the Word of God. No commentary, no opinion, just where does all the information fit? And it's fascinating. I love it. I find this so helpful. And I've got a few little copies up the back there if you're interested in taking one afterwards. But it shows us this scene. The first heaven, that's the atmosphere. That's what we know about. We breathe it in, we fly through it. The second heaven is the stars and the planets, the universe. We know a bit about that too. And then there's the third heaven. Now all this information is in the Bible, folks. I'm not making it up. The third heaven. And you can read about these things in Acts 14, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And then there's an account by Paul where the Apostle Paul actually goes into the third heaven. He's taken up into the third heaven. And he says there that he sees paradise. Now paradise normally resides down there. But it's also up there. How is that? Why is that? Now, when you read the script, this is fascinating. You see, in the Old Testament, when Jesus was here, when he died on the cross, they were still operating in the Old Testament way of doing things, and the things that God said in the Old still applied. So, what happened to people when they died? Because they didn't go to be with Jesus. Not absent from the body and present with the Lord when Jesus was around here on the earth. When Moses was alive, how could that be? When Joshua was alive, how could that be? So what happened to the people that died before Jesus came? Well, this is what this little drawing tries to explain. You see, it talks about a place called Sheol, the underworld. And this is where all the confusion starts to happen. Now, hopefully I'll clear it up, but maybe I probably won't. It's mentioned in the Old Testament 65 times. And the Hebrew word Sheol can be translated as hell. It can be translated as the grave. And three times it's translated as the pit. And it means an unseen state. So when you die and you're buried, nobody sees you. Makes sense. But in the New Testament, which is written in Greek, that word is predominantly translated as hell. They don't have all those different words. But what you notice about Sheol is that down here is that it has two compartments. So when you died in the Old Testament, you went to Sheol and there was part A and part B. Part A was paradise and part B was hell or Hades. And in between, there's a thing called the Great Gulf. And does that sound familiar to you? Because the Lord Jesus spoke about it in Luke chapter 23, the rich man and Lazarus. The Great Gulf fixed. You'll also notice that there's some other things like Tartarus, the abyss, and the lake of fire. And we get confused. We think they're all the same thing. They're not. And this is where people get muddled up. And it doesn't make sense when you try to explain things to people about heaven and hell. And so those places are different places, are separate places, have a different word to describe them, and they have a different purpose. And the Bible talks all about that. I haven't got time to go into great detail, but please come and talk to me about it later if you're interested. Do you remember, we almost read it this morning, do you remember an event in Luke chapter 23? Now we remembered an event at Calvary of a man on a cross called Jesus. But there were three crosses, weren't there? Three. A thief on either side. Do you remember at one stage when one of the thieves turned to Jesus and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." Now, the response. What was the response? Lord Jesus said, "Today, you will be with me, not heaven." Not heaven. He was going to be with Jesus, but not in heaven. Why is that? Because the scripture tells us, and this is still Old Testament time, dispensation if you want to call it that, all the dead people, including Jesus, went to Sheol. Of course, the Lord didn't go into hell, but he went to the gates of hell, didn't he? That's what it says there, and he had the key. It talks about that in the scriptures. So, what was the Lord doing in paradise down in there? It says in the scriptures in Ephesians that he was leading the people that were captive there, leading them, taking them from down there to up there. That's where paradise is now. It's a part of heaven. It's a part of heaven. And you know, I remember reading a description of heaven. Heaven is a big place. And paradise is a suburb of heaven. The New Jerusalem is a suburb of heaven. Oh, that helped me to understand heaven. See, heaven isn't just where I will be. Heaven is also where God is. It's a very interesting subject, it really is. And it takes a long time to understand. But let's get to this passage here this morning, because time's against us and it's a big enemy, isn't it? John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Now, it's written in red in my Bible. What does that mean? That's it. Jesus spoke it. In my Bible, I've got a red letter Bible, and all the words of Jesus are in red. Jesus spoke this. They're his words. Listen, and now, so that, but please keep that in your mind, in context. He spoke it. He says they're in my Father's house. In my Father's house. Now Jesus is saying that God is his Father. Big boast to say that. In fact, they tried to kill him for it many a times. But you see, in Matthew 3 and in Luke chapter 3, God himself tells us that Jesus is his Father, is his Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But wait, there's more. Because in Luke chapter 9, the heavens open up again and God speaks again. He says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Oh. Oh. Jesus, words written in red. God says, "Listen to him." So we're going to try and listen to him very carefully this morning. Where does God live? in heaven. And it says there are many mansions or many rooms here. It's not a good translation, the NIV, because the Greek word actually means mansions or dwelling places, like dwelling houses. And you access this after death. This is what we think. And Jesus says there that he says, I am going to prepare a place for you. You see, it wasn't in existence then. It's something the Lord was going to do and is doing now. It says they're preparing a place for you. It's individual. It's not a group of people. It's not a church denomination. It's not a nationality of people. It's individual for you. It's personal. You. And Jesus is saying this to his disciples, in particular to Thomas here, in particular. He's saying, for you, Thomas, and for you, Philip, and for you, John. And this morning he's saying, and for you, and for you. That's what he's saying. It's an interesting observation here when you read this passage. You know, sometimes you read scripture and you've been saved a long time, you read it and I know what it says. But here, I want you to notice this. The focus in these seven verses, right, is not heaven. It's not heaven. The focus is a place for you. Your place. In heaven. That's the focus. That's what the Lord's talking about here. And he's not talking, see, there's no focus on the layout of heaven. What we're going to do. He's not talking about the streets of gold and the big walls and will my dog be there. There's no focus like that. It's all about the place for you. Your place in heaven. And that you will be with me. That was the same focus, wasn't it? On the cross with the thief. Lord, remember me. And what did the Lord say? Today you will be with me. That's the focus. You know, we get caught up, don't we? We get taken up with, oh, what am I going to do in heaven? Well, you know, I mean, I don't know, some of us stress out because, you know, there's no night. Will I be tired? Will we be asleep? And we're really glad there's no pain and suffering and no death. But that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is we will be with the Lord. The Apostle Paul was the same. He said, absent from the body, in heaven, walking the golden streets. No, it's absent from the body and present with the Lord. That's the focus. And then listen to what else he says about that. He said, you also... may be where I am. Now that's the focus. Because where is he? He's in the Father's house. He's in heaven. Preparing a place. Verse 4. As I said, there's nothing about the golden streets, the high wall. But verse 4, this is what the Lord wants his people to know. Right? You know the way. To the place where I'm going. That's a key focus of this passage. Knowing the way. Knowing the way. That's the key thing. And it's confirmed, isn't it? Because you know, Thomas doesn't say, No. Oh, how do we know the way? How can we know? We don't know the way. Do you know the way to heaven? Do you know the way of getting a place of your own, your individual place in heaven? That's a good question, isn't it? It was concerning Thomas and some of the other disciples. You see, because this was a new concept for them. Because they were still thinking, you know, Sheol, you know, in paradise. New concept. A new way of getting there. And Jesus makes it very clear in verse 6. He says, I am the way. The truth and the life. That's a huge statement to make. That's what we've got on the wall. It's important. I know John 3:16 is, you know, the verse, but when you think about this verse, you see, Jesus is saying, Jesus is the way to heaven. He's the only way to heaven. Big boast. He says, I am the truth. What I say is reliable. It's truthful. It can be trusted. It's often confronting, but nevertheless, it's the truth. And then he says, I am the life. You know the life after this life? Eternal life? I am that. That's what he's saying. Now these are simple facts. They really are. They're not that hard to understand. He says, I'm the way to the Father. I'm the way to heaven. I'm the way to have your sins forgiven. I'm the way for you to have eternal life. Simple things. But somehow we have got these simple facts all confused, muddled up, made it very difficult to understand. Religion has done that. And denominations have done that. And theologies have done that. Because all those things, brothers and sisters, are man-made. The origins, as good intention as some of those things are, the origins are human. But what I've just read to you this morning comes from Jesus Christ, God's Son. And God said, listen to him. Not listen to Raph, or listen to the Pope, or the Archbishop, or the pastor. Listen to him. This is what he says. He says he's preparing a place for all those who acknowledge him and accept him as their Lord and Saviour, as the one who is the way, who is the truth and is the life. I should have had that slide up already. Okay. So going back to that first question with the hands up, right? You can, absolutely, you can be sure of a place in heaven. There are facts, the God-given facts to make that a sure thing. You can be sure of your own place in heaven, your own place with your name on it. Absolutely guaranteed. There are facts for that. The problem is this morning, the problem is Jesus preparing a place for you? Is he actually doing that? Has he prepared a place for you? Does he know you're coming? Now, over the next couple of weeks, this theme will be developed. This is not the whole subject, but this is just a portion of it. I hope that you will be challenged by God's word, because God wants to share eternity with you in his house, heaven. May the Lord bless. Just going to close in prayer. Feel free to hang around, have a coffee and tea and have a chat. Lots to talk about. It's very interesting, this subject. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to gather together to remember the Lord Jesus, to worship you, Father. We thank you that you are an eternal God, a God that is forever. And Father, we just thank you for the blessings that you have given us many times over, and in particular your word. We thank you for it, for in it we have your revelation to us, the things that you want us to know. Help us, Father, to read it, to understand it, to take it to heart, and most of all, act upon it. We give thanks for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.